Okay. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Today, the unafeared day. I think we're unafeared. Unafeared, unafeared. Dave Ridley doing the, you know, BitcoinGandhi.net thing, walking across in support of freedom and against the Crypto 6, get read an FBI, you know, whatever. That was awesome. You know, so we're going to be keeping checking in him up until June 2nd when he actually goes up to the feds and does his Gandhi thing. Then we just had Dr. Jessica Rose on. You go to YouTube and she got a channel, Jessica Rose, there on theirs. The Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, what she found out from doing that. And like, damn, that was an interesting conversation. And she's making friends. She's finding out that there's a movement. There's a thing out here. You know, and I tell you, the thing out here is definitely where our next guest is, you know, Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. Now, we've been talking to Stuart since like forever, you know, even before this and all the kind of stuff. So we know Stuart knows how it's played. You know, and a lot of people, they get out and go, oh, I'm for it, and they're dead. Or they're in jail. But they keep trying to come after Stuart Rhodes. He's doing it wrong. He's not complying. And he wants, like, military and law enforcement, you know, or supposed to be peace officers, to live by their oath. You took an oath, right? What was that oath say? What does it mean? Well, some of them are going, hey, man, I'm an oath keeper. I want to be, you know, I'm with you. Well, January 6th, they had a lot of people went to Washington. They went to Washington, whatever, you know. And they're coming. If you went to Washington, you must go to jail. You are in support of not us. We need to, unless you're Antifa, and then it's okay. But, you know, those, man. The ones who won't leave us alone. And then they put up the fence, the wall, you're not allowed to, the people can never, as if I care. You know, you know, you want to go and be in support of something now, it's not go to Washington. And I was saying this before. Woo, let's go be in charge of the marble. Yay. You know, I don't care. We took over the Capitol building. I don't give a crap. What they're more afraid of is you ignoring them. And that's why they're doing this. That's what I think. They're trying to maintain their relevance. See, people want to take us over. No, we don't. What if I just don't care? What if I'm ignoring you? They hate that even more. So they go after Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. All right, Stuart, monologue me, man. Tell me everything that's going on and what's up, and have an understanding, buddy. Go.
Well, what this is they're trying to turn it into the American Reichstag fire. What happened with the Reichstag fires is when the Nazis first came into office, they still had the remnants of the old republic. And so they had to have an emergency. And so someone set fire to the legislature. Turns out it was probably the Nazis themselves.
Yeah.
But in the aftermath of that, they arrested. That's where the concentration camps began in Germany. Began to do mass arrest all over the country of all the communists, and then it was all the trade unionists and on down the line. So this is very much the trying to bootstrap really what was at most a riot in the middle of a protest is what it was. A few people got violent with the cops. There's some footage of that. None of our guys, but there were some that did. Some did break in. And then there were a bunch of people just walked through the doors because the doors were open. And on many, many occasions, it was cops saying, come on in. They walked right in.
Yep, all part
so
of
they
the
don't
plan,
have a really – not much of a violent insurrection there, right? Unarmed. It's not really an insurrection.
Right.
So, but they have to make it into something that's not. And so like Oscar Sisnik, he died of a stroke days later. Nothing to do with what happened on January 6th, but you saw all the way from the beginning, all the way until just recently, they were just declaring that he had been murdered by the Trump supporters, which was complete bullshit, complete nonsense. But they had to try to create this into something it wasn't, and that's what they're doing. And so their whole thing is to demonize not just Trump, but his followers, and not just his followers, anyone, including libertarians. Don't forget that Brennan, when he was talking about all the potential domestic violent extremists, listen to libertarians.
Woohoo! Looks like we made it! Yeah, we're like...
You made the list, man.
I'm like, oh, so God, you know? Whatever.
That's what's going on. But you're right. The biggest thing you can do, the best thing you can do is ignore them. Not that you ignore that they exist, but you don't let their edicts control your life. You live your free life independent of their edicts. But you got to understand, they're going to get to you eventually. You and I have had this conversation before. You can only go so far in the little Scoopymobile bus there before eventually they come for your microphone too. So I think everybody out there needs to understand that it's not that you can say, well, I'm not with those people, so I'm okay. Like, what was it, the pastor Niemeyer said in Germany? He first came for the trade unionists, but I wasn't a trade unionist, so I said nothing and did nothing. Then they came for the communists, but I wasn't a communist. It's like that. You have to understand that the big picture is that we're in the beginning of an overt, we've been in a covert dictatorship or coup since Kennedy's assassination, at least, if not long before that, the founding of the Federal Reserve. We all know that.
Yeah. No,
but now you're starting to see it become much more overt. It's becoming more overt. So a good example is that when I first started Oath Keepers, Southern Poverty Law Center went through the defense, tried listed as a prohibited organization that active duty military could not belong to. Well, they failed. And they got pissed off. They actually wrote about it on their website, how the Department of Defense is not listening to them and is still allowing soldiers to be members of Oath Keepers, because Oath Keepers stand for the Constitution. We're not racially orientated. We don't discriminate along racial lines. So there's nothing there for the DOD to look at that and go, okay, this is a prohibited group. KKK, you can't belong to the KKK if you're active duty. But you can belong to Oath Keepers because they're not that orientation. So SPLC got pissed off about that.
Southern Poverty Law Center.
Now fast forward. Right. So fast forward to today. Well, now, since the new Secretary of Defense Austin came in under the Biden administration, it's been Katie bar the door. Everything's listed as prohibited. Oath Keeper tabs, Three Percenter tabs, anything referring to the American Revolution. I mean, they just go to these presentations.
Yeah, no, we have some DOD. Who's that big black guy? I can't remember what position he has, but he's been up from the DOD or something. I don't know his name. But he comes out and he's like, we've got to expunge extremists from the military. And then you had this guy in Space Force. He just goes in Space Force, some commander. He's going, no, he wrote a book. He's like, what the hell is this? Is Marxism. They're coming in. This is under the guise of we got to get rid of extremists. Extremists for what? Liberty? You know, what was that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he was a fighter pilot. And he wrote a book about communism.
No, the guy that represented the government that was saying, going after everybody. You got to be woke.
Brennan.
Who?
Well, the ex-CIA director, Brennan, was the one that did the interview mentioning libertarians. But he's just a mouthpiece and a front for the cabal.
No, I'm talking about the military. I think it's DOD. I can't remember his name. And it doesn't matter. Say them those,
that's
man.
Secretary of Defense Austin. That's the new Secretary of Defense.
Is he black? He's a black guy?
Yeah, he's a big black general.
Yeah, okay. Right. So that really, he's Secretary of Defense?
Yes, he is.
Secretary of Defense was saying this. They're purging the military ranks of extremists. Was the Secretary of Defense? See, I'm so proud that I don't know this because I don't care. Because I just don't care. It doesn't, one of them. I mean, but it surprises me. I didn't know he was Secretary of Defense. I mean, I'll tell you how much I'm not paying attention.
And so. So critical race theory, that was the point of that book that pilot was writing, or has written, is that critical race theory, which is a communist doctrine designed to split America apart along race theory.
All right, we're going into break. We're losing you over the music. We'll be right back. Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. Yeah, I'm just, as much as I can, just let him explain it to us. I just want to, ask some questions, kind of, stuff I need to know so I can be smarter and act like I know what I'm talking about. Now I know the Secretary of Defense. I did not know that.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay. I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing the cabinet. It's like 25 here, and the pictures are coming up. And straight white guys, I don't know, there's probably a couple in there. You know, this was a diverse, these are just, they're figureheads. They're just going to do whatever they're told to just do. I am, wow, this is surprising to me. You know, I knew it was going to be identity politic kind of thing, but damn. And their goal is what? You know, this that's going on from the Secretary of Defense and going after extremists. We got to purge. We posted that, had that up. That got my attention. We're going to purge extremists from our ranks. And they want to classify Oath Keepers as extremists, but now they couldn't do it before. Well, Austin's now Secretary of Defense. Can he do it? Does he stroke pen declaration of Oath Keepers are bad and go arrest them? I mean, is that what's going on?
No, they're not going to arrest them. But what they're going to do is the guys can't display any patches, even on their like their gym bag or something, that have anything that's prohibited. And they've got, you know, group of centers and any militia references, anything referring to the American Revolution will get you red flagged. Of course, Oath Keepers. But the guys in the ranks understand, and the vague terminology of extremist applies to pretty much anyone that they don't like. So it's like, it's like political commissars. It's like being in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia.
Right.
You got political officers now being infused. That's what it's like. And they're going to tell you what thoughts or what websites you shouldn't have. What websites you should not visit, and they're going to be, you know, telling the commanders to watch out for all of these things. But what they're really red flagging is conservatives, libertarians, constitutionalists, anyone who's not a woke radical leftist is going to be suppressed
in the military
or eventually purged. Yeah,
you know, this is That's like if you go watch the movie the Hunt for Red October with Sean Connery, you know, great movie, and you have a political agent from the party. This is the political, not a military guy. He's to make sure you're with the, you know, wokeness of whatever the hell. That's what they're doing, because that's what they've done. They know how this needs. We got to control the military guy, make sure they're with the program kind of thing. Well, then that's the first guy they kill, you know, and then they defect. But the this is what's coming. You're right. This is awesome that we realize this.
And it's for the same reasons. They don't trust. I mean, they're doing FBI screening and vetting of the National Guard troops for the inauguration. And now they've announced a purge inside of DHS. So they don't trust and they fear their own troops because there's an ideological split and an ideological war that they are very, very conscious of. And so they're trying to solidify power. But in a way, it only displays their weakness because they've got, you know, millions of Americans that go into the service, the military service, come from rural America. They don't come from big cities right. like New York City or
right.
And so they don't share the same worldview as the political elites in this country do, or the college professors and all the college graduates that go on to become a lot of these officers. The NCOs and the enlisted below them, a lot of them come from rural America or small town America, and they have not yet been brainwashed to be woke.
Oh, they're trying.
And so they want to brainwash them.
This is a county level thing. They're trying to make sure everybody gets screwed up.
Yeah, so you're right. It goes all the way down. So this is just another indicator of where we are. But we have an illegitimate regime. I agree with you. Biden's completely illegitimate. I know, you know, as a libertarian, you think every government's illegitimate. Right. But this is like extra illegitimate. This is illegitimate times 100. So they don't have any legitimacy. So what they're instead going to do is use fear and intimidation.
Yeah. You know, this is, you know, it's not like there's not ever going to be a government. I mean, it's like, you know, a family, you know, a tribe, but whatever. I mean, there's always going to be some kind of something, you know. But I just always ask, you know, in the last couple of years, I've been really focusing on the community. You know, how's that going to manifest itself? That's why the show is Declare Your Independence, because the Declaration of Independence, the purpose of government, defense of individual rights. It doesn't do that. It's time to alter, abolish. It's your right, your duty. Boom. Sign me up. I'm in. So when I ask, what do I have to do? What can't I do? What's your conflict resolution? Well, the purpose of any government was to defend my ability to be left alone, you know, and not interfere with somebody else's being left alone. I mean, you know, it's not complicated, but they want to make it complex. And we need to do this thing. And then the side effect of that causes this. So we got to have a department of that, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, boom, now we're where we're at. So once we get back to understanding, and the easiest thing is to imagine, you know, not the federal government, we'll go to the state. And then we, you know who to beat up there, you know. And then, you know, we'll go down to the county and the community and the family. And it's in it, property rights. I put my tent in front of City Hall, and that's cool. If I take the same tent and put it on my own land without a government permit, I'm going to jail. You know, I'm going, whoa, whoa, when the freak did that happen in this country? So this is, I'm so glad, and we've known each other for a long time. You know, we've actually, you know, broke bread and, you know, hung out. And I know where your mind is, and you're exactly what they fear, to have people that are going by their oath, going by what, you know, the promise was of this government, and they go, nah, we don't want people thinking wrong. You know, you're doing it wrong, Stuart. Now, you were in that. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, fill in the blanks. You were in the military, you became an attorney, you worked in Congressman Ron Paul's office, you understood the Constitution, you get to this point to where the Levolution comes, you're part of that, and we need an Oath Keeper thing. So how far off am I in there?
No, you're right, because it's, I was a paratrooper in the Army, and then after the Army, I worked for Ron Paul after college, and I was part of both his campaigns, 2008 and the 2012. So, but I realized that the same mission that Ron Paul had, which is a message of liberty, I wanted to take that to the guys with the guns and focus that mission on the military and police and firefighter EMS. You know, the guys that are given the orders. That was the whole point of Oath Keepers. Same mission, though, still, to this day, is to try to get the guys who are given the orders, whether it's COVID-19 lockdown orders or gun confiscation orders or whatever,
yeah,
to start thinking about their orders and whether or not they're constitutional. If they're not, they have a duty to say no, to refuse them. So we're still on that same mission, but we've also been protecting people against Antifa across the country in the street because they get violent and try to shut down free speech. So we were in Berkeley twice and, you know, all across the country at thousands of events. And that's what the radical left hates. they hate two things about us. One, I started during the Obama administration and dared to tell guys that if Obama says something unconstitutional, don't follow it. That made me a demon from the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So they tried to say that I didn't like Obama because he was black. It had nothing to do with his color. It had to do with his politics. So they don't like us for that reason, but they also don't like us for the last 4 years during the Trump administration. We were in the streets protecting Trump supporters from Antifa. They don't like that either. So they don't like anyone getting in the way of their street agenda, their street theatrics. They're out in the street. They want max chaos, and they want to be blame it on the cops and the strict police, which is part of the agenda to take over the country to rule.
Oh, no, they want some enforcement of guns doing what they want to do. I can guarantee that. You know, they just don't want that. They want to get rid of, and are there good cops out there? Of course there are. You know, but do they get supported? Hell no. You know, that's not part of their agenda. More.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org, in the headlines. You know, they see they're going after the leader this or somebody, Oath Keeper that. They got to say basically what they're doing in the press is Oath Keeper's bad and, you know, government good, and we're going to get Oath Keepers because they don't like our government and whatever. So is that rubbed off on you? They want to explain it to you. You said that, you know, the law enforcement had your phone or something. What's up with this?
Yeah. The FBI did a search warrant for my phone, took my phone, and, of course, scoured through it through every conversation I've ever had. So and then they're going to...
Well, that's just theater. What, they didn't already have it? I mean, they can't get it through a phone anyway?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So what they do is what they call reverse engineering, right? So they'll go out and just gather your information illegitimately, then go get a search warrant, and then pretend like they discovered it for the first time after they've gotten that search warrant.
Right.
But they go back and they just pick up the pieces where they left off.
They want to legalize the illegal activity that they did. They already know. They just wanted to have your phone to say, this is what, and this guy, and it's going to be part of a prosecution of some guy, and he contact and direct message with you of something, you know?
Yeah.
So are you under any threat? Do you care? I mean, are they going to make an example out of Stewart anyway?
Well, they're trying, so we'll see what happens. But it's interesting that
I want a trial. I want discovery. I want to, let's bring it. Let's do it. Ellen, you're an attorney. Are you kidding me? Yeah, whatever. All right. I'm sorry.
Hey, look. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let them shut me up. And if they indict me, then, like you said, we'll go to trial. We'll get discovery. So, because I want to know on the other side, I want to see all the footage, all the security footage inside the Capitol that they're not showing us. They only show you the stuff that looks bad for Trump supporters.
Right.
They don't show you the stuff that looks good.
Yeah, the Antifa guy that put on a Trump hat and went and did whatever. I mean, which we know. You know, you got video. We can see this stuff. But they're being very selective. And any trial that's going to be put on, I would imagine defense would have a lot. And a lot of it they have. It's not like they don't have enough surveillance cameras. And so this is...
Well, they're turning it over, though. They're refusing to turn over the footage to the defense in a lot of these cases. And so the defense attorney is going to have to fight for it. They have a right to it. It's exculpatory evidence, or potentially exculpatory evidence.
Now, exculpatory means that it shows your innocence or something, right?
Right. So, the government has, the prosecutor has the duty. Of course, a lot of them don't obey this duty. But they have a duty to turn over to the defense any potentially exculpatory evidence in their possession. But they're fighting that. They're not turning over the footage from inside the Capitol. Only what they want to release.
Yeah, no, this is one thing I've been saying for years. The future is all about credibility. It's who you believe, you know, and they are just, they, them, those, man. It is so amazing how erosive their credibility has been actively done by them. You know, I mean, they'll lie even when it's not in their best interest, because they're so used to lying. When the truth would serve them better, they just lie. And you're going, wow, you're just, there's something wrong with you. And there is. And they're concentrated in Washington. They're sociopaths. I didn't used to say, I didn't know what the hell that meant before. They have no empathy, no love, no compassion. No, and this is the result of that. And now they're all, they whip each other's up. They get each other confidence building of we're going to be in charge, kick ass. And then they come up against Stuart Rhodes and Oath Keepers and people that, you know, with badges that really freaking care. And they're going, yeah, but we're going to scare you into submission. And then when you have people of faith or people of principle, they don't scare easily. And they scare. You know, they once you get them, you know, the light on them and so on, they're ready to turn somebody in because they don't care. There's no principle. So they don't understand. They're the architect in the matrix. They don't get it. They can't understand. And what they're up against is what? And what do you think how this is going to play out?
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, it's interesting. Like, I've been good buddies with Jordan Page and another, you know, I call him anarcho-capitalist. You're one of those, too. But I've always thought the best argument that anarcho-capitalist could make about failure of government is that it draws sociopaths. Not that power corrupts. It certainly does. But it draws people that already have nothing but a lust for power. That's exactly the biggest problem. That's who's drawn. Like they've done surveys where, you know, your sociopaths gravitate towards law and government, neurosurgeons, you know, make good neurosurgeons because they don't care about the patient, right? They're like a robot. And then any position of power, that's where sociopaths are drawn. But a big one is government. Absolutely right. So that's it's always been the obvious flaw of government systems is that it draws people that want that power. And once they get it, all they want is more and more and more. And what they don't want is anyone questioning their power or their legitimacy. And so the best thing you can do is laugh at them and mock them and show them that they don't have any power over you. It will drive them crazy.
You know, that's what this, you know, I know that the impact of sign making that we put up everywhere, that's what the whole Love Bus is about. And the big focus is the resistance to mandatory vaccinations, because we knew this was a common thing. Even before all this COVID stuff, we were planning on this, had the bus ready, and been out since May. And going to rural America, it's like you say, these guys get it. They're not compliant. Oh, yeah, the health guy will come in and make them put their little plexiglass glass thing by the register of whatever the hell, and none of the customers, you go in these rural general stores or around, I don't care. You know, some of them, they're really scared in the beginning. They're kind of, okay, we'll give you a couple of weeks. Oh, that couple of week thing, well, you know, got extended, you know. So they're going, oh, okay, I get it. And they counted on their empathy. They counted on them wanting to do the right thing. They counted on them, you know, taking care of their neighbors and being a part of the solution. They counted on that. And that very trait is what's going to kick their ass. But they can't see it. They don't understand it. And we're just fostering, all right, man, you guys want to play? Let's play. So
that's an important point, is that they're relying on artificial intelligent analysis of what they think we're going to do. But that AI that they put together doesn't have empathy, doesn't have love, doesn't have courage, none of those human attributes that you can't predict. And so I think you're correct. That they don't get it, they'll never get it, and neither will their artificial intelligent logarithms. They're not going to get it. They're not going to be able to map out our actual reactions in the future.
You know, it was if you rewatch the Matrix series and you pay attention not to the CGI and, you know, and the whiz bangs and all the crap, but, you know, what was really going on? It's a mind thing. It was all in the mind. You know, so the Oracle's going, look, the architect, he can't understand it. You know, I was here to come and understand humanity, trying to get a beat on whatever, you know, and they can't. I get it. I'm for humanity, whatever. She's part of the program. It doesn't matter. The point is that I started to understand how to articulate how they can't understand the power of love and compassion and humanity's right, you know, because they play on that. They stroke that. They encourage it. They reward it on your Facebook post of fear of missing out, of gamifying everything, of whatever. And then sooner or later, you get enough coders and people that created these sites. They don't let their kids on social media. And they come out, the Social Dilemma, the documentary, you can watch it on Netflix or whatever. You watch that and you go, man, they are gaming us. And they have caused all kinds of problems. But when they create all these problems, and then who's the solution? Them. You know, they always got a big government solution to to the point that you get to what you're saying, all our narco-capitalist, voluntarist, leave me aloneist, or whatever, going the whole purpose that we are promised, you know, or the promise is for us to have a government is not a chicken in every pot. It is for individual rights to be supported, and that's the first thing to go. And I'm going, whoa, once this, it's a cycle. I don't give a crap how many robots you got. I don't care how big your government is. I don't care how powerful and billionaires and secret handshake club of blood oath of whatever the hell you do. It doesn't matter. Humanity always, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. When we come back, we're going to talk about the mess. Stuart Rhodes is going to help us. He's going to say, yep, this is what's coming. These are guys that kind of whatever. They want to, AI wants to plug in the back of Stuart's head. I guarantee it. They wouldn't learn damn thing. They wouldn't know what the hell is looking at. We'll be right back. Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org.
Hear you now.
There are okay, those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Stuart Rhodes. Stuart Rhodes from oathkeepers.org. Yeah, we had a power outage went, and I tripped the breaker, turned there, but we got it in time to be back from the break. Oh, we win. Okay, this is when the man trying to do it this time. I'm kind of surprised that whenever I have, you know, like Stuart, maybe they want me to talk to Stuart Rhodes. They're going, no. Keep the signal all good. We want to hear Stuart, you know, them hang themselves or something. I mean, whatever. You know, so where do you see this going? I'm not for... You know, I mean, what do I do? I'm going to resist what? I mean, I just want to be left alone. And if it gets down to they're going to, you know, I'm just a passive resistance guy. Yeah, whatever. I want discovery and it's all on videotape. So how do you think this is going to play out? Sooner or later, they're going to have to be defied, resisted, and they're not going to like it. And sure as hell, people like you, you know, encouraging others or just being an example. So where do you think this is going?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a collision course between the American refuseniks, that's what we all need to be, and these people that are obsessed with power. And so, but the best strategy, it's the same path the founding fathers walked. They were dealing with what they considered an illegitimate government that did not represent them, and they had domestic puppets of foreign powers, that was the king and parliament, controlled the colonies through their royal governors, or tried to. And so they wound up using nullification and interposition against the royal governors and then against the crown itself. And they had their version of the day was the East India Company, right? That was their Amazon and Facebook and Walmart of the day.
Right.
That was the favorite big, huge. No, it's a good analogy.
No, that's amazing. That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah. And so, and you know, most favored corporate status, right? So they're essential. Every huge box store all over the country was still open and sucking up all the money from the locals while mom and pop businesses were driven out of business. That was the whole point. Massive wealth redistribution from mom and pop America to corporate America. And all of these big corporations, that's why they're all woke. You know, that's why they all jumped on board with Black Lives Matter and gave them billions of dollars, because they've chosen their team. And their team is whatever this future is, controlled by these oligarchs. Corporate America is all about it. This is kind of the problem I have with a lot of libertarians. They're so in love with the free market, you know, and Ayn Rand and all that, that they're turning a blind eye to the fact that these private corporations really are like the East India Company. They are. It's like the analogy of two dogs in the street, you know, linked together, coupled together. That's big business and big government. It's an obscene industry, and there it is in your face right now.
Now, libertarians are not obtuse to the fact that, you know, they're – well, even in our PiratesWithoutBorders.com, you'll see in a lot of the letters of Captain Mark – well, I don't count them as libertarian oftentimes. But you have the letters of Captain Mark, and we talk about the crown, which is government and force and whatever, and the privateers. You know, the privateers were not the pirates. The pirates are free market out and doing whatever. A lot of times they had their own justice because, and matter of fact, they were very democratic. They elected their captains. You know, what happens when you're a butthead on a pirate ship? They kill you. I mean, you know, What'd you think was going to happen? So the privateers were more like what they would want to perceive as the pirates. They were the ones that were agents of the crown. As long as you had a letter of marque, from the crown, you can go rape and pillage all you want in the name of the charter. So I'm just going, this is the privateers. So I call them privateers. These corporations and everything, that's not, they're not there to serve me. They're violating individual rights. The government's supposed to be able to protect me from that, from this monopolizing thing, from this, you know, private enforcement of from I have to and I can't and you got us and all that. You know, no. I understand your point, but I think it's misplaced. They go over the libertarians that, well, you're just against all, you know, or you're just for private. Yeah. As long as they're not violating my rights. I mean, what the hell you think government's supposed to be for? So screw you, I'll do it myself. But that is what we're getting to. In the future, there is going to be, how are we going to community come together, live in the contract, the HOA of whatever? I mean, what are you, same, I'm looking for that.
The same thing the Founding Fathers did. I mean, follow their playbook. They dealt with the same problems. Human nature does not change.
Nope.
But we're dealing with an updated version of the East India Company, an updated version of the Crown. In their day, they had the writs of assistance, right? Warrantless searches for the customs agents to enforce the king's edicts, to enforce the Stamp Act, and come into any home and search any place you wanted to. You had no privacy. That's why they got pissed off about that. Well, we're dealing with an updated version of that where our phones, these are our own tracking devices. This is your own ankle bracelet, right? Like Edward Snowden's been pointing out for years. They're using these and use those private companies to make it easy for you, to make it easy for them to know everything you're doing.
But for convenience. We got to give up some convenience. You know, there would be convenience.
You need to walk away from these things.
Yeah. No, I mean, we have a, you know, they call it Clear Phone, you know, Clear United. We're kind of, you know, working on that. We have IPFS, Interplanetary File System, that we're doing where they can't censor or take off data. We're doing. We're all over it. And I'm here at the Greater Reset in Austin, Texas, south of Austin in the Buda. Yeah, Buda. And Texas, where they're doing the Greater Reset for the second time, you know, and I'll be speaking on, you know, the community thing. And I'm just like...
Are you there now?
Yeah, I'm in...
That's where you are now?
Yeah, I'm... Well, I hadn't started till Sunday. We're doing some sign stuff and everything, the little buses. Yeah, we just pulled in last night.
I'll come see you because I'm up in the Dallas area right now.
Really? Well, get your funky butt down here and in the studio, man. I'll show you what's
Sounds
up.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, how long are you in Texas?
Yeah. Hey, I live in Texas now.
Really?
I've been here for a year. Yeah.
What are you? Are you digging it?
What's that?
Are you liking it? Is it okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's an important state. That's why I've been here for the last couple of years doing a lot of work because. It's a critical state, and it's got a lot of good history. I think Texas' own independence-minded history is good.
Yeah, no, the Republic of Texas, the Lone Star State. That there's a reason they say that. I went to college here for a little bit. Just took some classes at a community one time when I had nothing else to do when I was young, and I was here. I lived in Arlington, but to even take a class at a community college, you have to take. What is requirement in high school to even take college classes here. So you had to take this class called Texas Government and History or whatever. Woo, they want to indoctrinate you. They go, let me tell you what's up with Texas, and the U.S. can suck it. And they have, you know, all those things are separate. They're like their own country. Their utilities are kind of isolated. Their road system is different. They're, you know, everything's different about Texas. And it's not because they're any greater, wonderful, there's another government, but they definitely, you know, we're our own government. We are not subservient to, you know, Washington, D.C. So this has been...
They have their own independent legacy or history of rebellion against tyranny, against Santa Anna. So it wasn't just whites who were rebelling against Santa Anna. They're what they call the Tejanos. They were the Mexicans who were Mexican citizens who rebelled against Santa Anna as well. And along with Hispanics and whites broke away from Mexico. So they were their own independent country before they even entered the Union. So it's a good history. It's an interesting history.
Yeah, but you know, the U.S. government, they go, yeah, but that doesn't count anymore. We had a precedent. It was called Grant versus Lee, and you're not allowed to leave. You know, it's just a mindset. You know, it's just,
It's a battle of mindsets. Exactly right. So, but I think Texas is a critical state. That's why I'm here. I think it's important. It really is.
Well, what's
because
your support?
What's going to happen is you're going to see. Pardon?
What's your support here? I mean, you know, they go, ooh, they love them some Stuart Rhodes. He's our kind of guy.
Well, a lot of our leadership is already here. A lot of our board of directors, members, and leadership was here already. Yeah,
I remember the Texas Ranger kind of thing. You know, they had a group that we've been following Texas for a long time. You know, and Badnarik, you know, is from here, and we had, you know, a lot of Texas. My parents lived in Decatur, northwest of Fort Worth, for a long time. My sister was here. You know, we have a lot of Texas roots and stuff. We've been to Texas quite a bit, done some activism, and. This is going to be interesting. We're traveling the country, and I'm telling you, man, you get out of the city, and even in the city, all this is just media, you know, bought and paid for right. BS. America is right. Not like this.
What you see on TV is not real. So that's something I was at a retreat once, and the instructor said that. He said, and we're stuck with me. He said, hey, what you see on television is not real. And he was talking about the artificial divide and conflict of what it means not real. In the streets, in real life, most people don't care about politics. I noticed that. We did like 12 disaster relief hurricanes.
Yeah, we're going over the music. Everybody's mad. They can't hear you. But I tell you, you know, hold on a second, Stuart. We can yak in a little bit. You know, Stuart Rhodes, we're close enough that, you know, it's like get your ass down here and come say, yo, what's up? And or maybe on our way out, we'll come by. But I won't do that. We can do that at least. You know, we'll leave it in the Great Reset into next weekend because there's a bunch of guys want to do a bunch of sign stuff. We're going to show them what's up. You know, I said, you guys don't remember the evolution, right? You know, Stuart does. You know, I want, man, we need to get some old-fashioned yak.